brilliant piece in a lot of newspapers. Mick Clifford's a good piece in the Irish Examiner. Dennis Walsh is a brilliant piece in the Irish Times on DJ Carey, his career, his relationship with money, the pressures that were on him, the pressures for change within the GAA, but also the devastation that his actions have wrought on people and on, I suppose, the sport that he was a genius at, that's for sure. As I said, we'll be talking a bit more about what happened in court yesterday. In a few minutes' time, we'll talk as well about some of his victims that fell foul to his con and his fraud, where he pretended to have cancer when he didn't. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about the impact on the world of hurling. And with me on the line is Dennis Hurley, who's sports writer for the Evening Echo. Dennis, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Listen, Dennis, look, this is a horrible story, really, to say it first and foremost. Jail for 5.5 years. It's an incredible fall from grace. The artful dodger of Kilkenny hurling, 5 All-Irelands, 9 All-Stars, Hurler of the Year several times. Does it have an impact on hurling, or is it important in any way that it is hurling that's involved here? It just happened to be he was a hurler.
I think that's it. I think that's the best way of putting it, Jerry. Like, obviously, you can't separate DJ Carey from the hurling career he had. But this, this is separate to hurling. Obviously, he was able to leverage his name and his reputation created through hurling in order to kind of carry out these acts of deception and. You mentioned Dennis Walsh's excellent piece in the Irish Times. I read that yesterday evening, and it is very good. It, it kind of lays out, I suppose, a lot of what he said during his career and talking about money and endorsements and things like that, and his marketability. And I suppose what he'd say is that any clip anyone will ever see again of DJ Carey during his hurling days, all these brilliant acts on the field, such skill, he was the George Best or the Pele of hurling, really, in the time he was playing. Yeah. But you'll never again be able to look at something he did on the field without thinking of this. Like, you won't be able to separate the art from the artist, I suppose. And he's torched what was a glowing reputation, and it'll probably affect how he is perceived, even though it was nothing to do with his actual career. His achievements would just have that bit of a shadow around them, when he should be held among the absolute greats.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the tragedy of it on one level, aside from the impact, the huge impact on his victims, Dennis. There's an issue there, I suppose, of when I remember covering him when I was working in the sports area, predominantly in Dublin, and we're meeting him at events at Croke Park after he'd retired, and he was promoting a new kind of a new company. He always seemed to be, and there was rumours following him during his career about how accessible he was. He broke the mold in some areas in terms of being promoted by companies at a time when it was still frowned upon within the GAA. But he always seemed to be on a drive for more commercialism and kind of more money at the time. And one level, it was fair enough because he was the demands on him. And we see now how GAA players are treated totally different to when he started playing the game. But there always seemed to be this sort of a want for more and more that seemed to drive everything.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And there was one quote in that Dennis Walsh piece that really just jumped out, where he talked about maybe getting fuel money for going to a medal presentation that a club might be having, and saying that, you might get a nice trophy worth €100, but that the €100 would be a lot more use, that unless you grow up with money, you could always do with the extra few quid. And just looking at it now in a very telling quote, it really just kind of strips away that visceral need.
Yeah. In hindsight, though, looking at, I suppose, that drive, where it came from, or the business dealings he was doing down through the years, nobody could have imagined the horror of what's unfolded in terms of what he started saying and what he did say and the money he took off people under those circumstances.
Yeah, like that's it. It's so unprecedented and just such on such a large scale. Like if you think like €400,000 is just, it's massive money. And like you just feel so sorry for all these people who felt they were doing good deeds, and they were doing good deeds, you know, based on what they knew and the information they had available to them. You know, they were being good Samaritans, and they've lost all this money, which could have been put to such other use, and they're left with this feeling of shame for having been duped, and probably then a sense of broken trust, and that they'll find it tough down the line, you'd imagine, if they're asked to do the same kind of thing. And it's just so sad from that point of view that these people had their good nature taken advantage of, you know, that they were just conned in such a way. And like, you know, I think we know some of the info that's come out, obviously in the court case and the few articles, and Eamon Eve Raynon has the book out now, since last week, perfectly timed, called The Dodger, which I think kind of covers things in a lot of detail. So I'll be looking forward to, I'll be heading into my local bookshop in Bandon to buy that there. The owner, Jerry Fitzgerald, is a good Fossa man. So I'll be looking forward to getting my hands on that, because I'd say it will be, it probably won't be a nice read. It'll probably be a jaw-dropping read, but I think an important one to just, to get to the bottom of it all, like.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Dennis, listen, thanks very much for talking to us and giving us your perspective on it. That's Dennis Hurley there, right,
from Hurling
Sport in general, for the Evening Echo, giving his view, the Echo in Cork, giving his view on it. And on that level, I suppose on one level, you know, he would have leveraged his fame for what he did to try and induce people to help him out, falling on tough times, having poor health supposedly when he didn't have poor health. But it could have been anything. He could have been a footballer, he could have been a soccer player, he could have been a well-known celebrity for something else, like nothing to do with the game of hurling, but he is indelibly linked to the game of hurling because of his greatness as a player. It just kind of magnifies the horror of it all for people who loved him as a player and loved the sport and loved what he did on the field. And he was, you know, as Dennis said there, the Pelé of hurling. It was the George Best of hurling. Maybe the first in the emerging commercial era, the first genuine GAA superstar who transcended the sport and was known across the country for that. That's all part of what's wrapped up in this as well. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. We're going to hear specifically what went on in court yesterday and also talk a bit about, I suppose, the impact on his victims for what has unfolded. Because even today, and even the coverage today, even what happened in court, yes, justice was served. 5.5 years is a deep sentence, particularly when there's no previous convictions involved, that was handed down by Judge Martin Nolan yesterday. But this all will have impact on the victims themselves, who've lost their money, never to get it back. And then the feeling, the bad feeling out of all of this is very, very tough to comprehend. That's for sure. So we'll get to that in more detail a little bit later on this hour. If you have a view on it, get in touch with us. Also, we might talk as well about this. And I'm open to correction if anyone can spot it anywhere. I didn't hear or see in any of the coverage or any statement that DJ Carey said sorry to his victims. Now maybe I'm wrong about that, but that is one of a part of the issue about it for me. Or maybe if I didn't hear it, maybe it hasn't gotten that. Maybe if it did happen, it didn't get the prominence perhaps maybe that it deserves, because that's one of the big things in relation to, I'd imagine, his victims in this crime, in the issue of it. The court heard yesterday, one of the things, and we'll get into this, that there was no immediate prospect of the former hurler being able to repay his victims. His defence lawyer said he was instructed to offer a heartfelt, sincere apology to every victim, and that Carey was suffering from a chronic heart condition. This was what he was saying in advance of the trial, or in advance of the sentence being handed down. This is what his solicitor was saying, but I didn't really hear it in DJ Carey's own voice. The defence lawyer instructed to offer a heartfelt, sincere apology to every victim, but there was no statement, I'd imagine, directly from DJ Carey. Turning your attention back now to the story of the day, the story is dominating all of the main newspapers in this country, and that is of the disgraced former hurling star DJ Carey, who was jailed yesterday for 5.5 years for defrauding people out of nearly €400,000 in what was a fake cancer scam. He pretended he was ill for years, tricking about 22 people and acquaintances into paying, friends and acquaintances really, into paying for his supposed treatment. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail now is Amy Molloy, who is social affairs correspondent with the Irish Independent, who was there yesterday. Amy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Derry.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. What was the atmosphere like yesterday as that sentence was handed down?
Yeah, like, I suppose, you know, there was journalists there from all over the country. There was members of the public. You know, I think the atmosphere on Friday was kind of a lot more, you know, serious, because, you know, we were hearing the shocking evidence that came out about some of the victims and how they were conned into giving DJ Carey money. We heard about how he approached friends, pensioners, acquaintances, people who actually had cancer and people who had lost loved ones from cancer. And I think because Judge Martin Nolan had indicated on Friday that a custodial sentence was inevitable, I think yesterday people were kind of prepared for the fact that DJ Carey was going to jail. So there wasn't a great sense of shock when Judge Martin Nolan was going through the sentence, and, you know, he described DJ Carey's actions as reprehensible. He said it was fraud of the very lowest kind, and, you know, Judge Nolan said, we may never actually know why DJ Carey did what he did. And he said that, you know, some of the victims may have looked in the mirror and said, God, like, how did I fall for this? But, you know, he commended the victims and said, you shouldn't feel foolish or ashamed because of what you did. You did this because you were good people and you were trying to help a man who you believed was seriously ill from cancer. But we now know that wasn't the case. And, you know, I was looking at DJ Carey as the sentence has been handed down, and he just sat there, or well, he was standing at the time, actually, and, you know, his hands were clasped and he was just very straight-faced, emotionless. And then obviously, you know, when Judge Nolan said, you're going to jail for 5.5 years, he was led away. And yeah, like, his barrister, Coleman Cody, has said in court on Friday that this was a stunning fall from grace. And that's the only way you can describe it, Jerry. I think, you know, a 5-time All-Ireland winner, 9-time All-Star, former Hurler of the Year. You know, DJ Carey was loved and adored by so many. You know, like, I'm a big GA fan myself, and I'm from Wexford and would have grown up, and DJ Carey broke my heart on many occasions, and, like, yeah, a lot of people were in the same boat. But it's just to see how far he fell and how he used his good name to exploit the generosity of others. And I think, you know, the sentence that was handed down was a hefty one, but I think it's a deserved one.
Yeah, and as we saw, Amy, you've written a really good piece in the Indo today about this. It didn't matter whether you were a billionaire or someone who was struggling for money. He still went after you. He took €135,000 off Dennis O'Brien, who he met on a golfing trip in South Africa in 1997. And when he got into trouble then, he turned to him for help and he got it.
That's it. You know, Dennis O'Brien, I think, was the person who lost out on the most money. And, you know, I've seen a lot of commentary online where people are saying, well, you know, it's only a few quid to him, he wouldn't have, you know, suffered any great loss because of this. But I don't think that's the point. Like, you know, Dennis O'Brien considered DJ Carey a friend. As you mentioned there, they first met on a golfing trip to South Africa in 1997. And soon after that, you know, they became quite pally and kept in contact. And then when DJ Carey's businesses got into difficulty after the financial crash, Dennis O'Brien was the first person that he turned to. And over the course of nearly the best part of a decade, Dennis O'Brien provided DJ Carey a lot of help. You know, it came in the form of a car, accommodation in Dublin. He even gave him employment, because when he was the previous owner of Topaz, DJ Carey was employed as a brand ambassador. And he provided, the court heard on Friday, €125,000 and then for further $13,000 in expenses to cover him while he was allegedly over in Seattle getting this treatment that we now know never was. But, you know, it's just shocking, really. And I think, you know, the figure that we heard in court, it was nearly €400,000, and that related to 22 victims. But, you know, some people, for whatever reason, who gave DJ Carey money chose not to come forward also. You know, it was reported in the Irish Examiner The GPA, the Gaelic Players Association, gave DJ Carey €30,000. The GPA didn't give a statement to Gardaí. Some other people who gave him small amounts of between €1,000 and €5,000 also decided not to give money to DJ Carey. So, you know, I think the true extent of what he did will never probably be known. And while 22 victims were named in court, it is likely that there are more people out there who did give him money.
Yeah, he was just prolific in what he was doing, and just as many people as he could tell, as many people could get money out, it seems that's what he went for. And we heard a story as well of Thomas Butler, who gave 16,500, I think, from his pension to DJ Carey.
Yeah, and you know, out of the 22 victims, just two people decided to give victim impact statements. One of those was Dennis O'Brien, the other was Thomas Butler. And Thomas Butler actually took to the witness box on Friday to read out his victim impact statement. And you could see it wasn't an easy thing for him to do. You know, he's a soft-spoken man, and he was almost trembling while reading out his victim impact statement. And, you know, he spoke about how the fact he lost both his own parents to cancer made this particularly gut-wrenching. And he had just retired at the time, and he paid DJ Carey €16,360 over the course of many years. And, you know, he said growing up, he had five children and he didn't really have much spare money to give them. And he was concerned about what they thought about the fact that he was there giving DJ Carey all this money. And yeah, like he's a lifelong Kilkenny supporter. You know, he grew up idolizing DJ Carey. He used to have a picture of himself and DJ, because they used to play golf together in Mount Juliet as well over the years. And he had a picture of himself and his idol hanging in the house. But after Gardaí contacted him in 2023 to alert him to DJ's deception, that picture was removed from his house. And yeah, like, you know, when DJ Carey came to court on Friday, he didn't have any family members there, Gerry. There was no one really to support him. He did have one gentleman, a farmer called John Crowley from Mooncoin in County Kilkenny, who offered to drive him up. They've been friends for the past 2 decades, I think. But other than that, there was nobody there in his corner, really. And look, even his own barrister admitted that a custodial sentence was probably right. But, you know, it's just sad to see how, you know, a man who was once idolised and adored by so many people just stooped to this level. And it wasn't just something that happened over the course of 1 or 2 years. This was going on for a decade. And I suppose many people are probably thinking, how did this only come to light in 2023? But like, I suppose now, you know, he's been sentenced to 5.5 years in jail. He'll have a lot of time to think about what he's done. And as Judge Martin Nolan said yesterday, when he comes out of court, he's not going to have an easy life. And obviously it's difficult for his family members as well. You know, his son Mikey's still playing with Kilkenny Cedar Hurdle team, and he has family too. But look, I think the sentence that was handed down yesterday was the right one, to be fair.
Yeah, and Amy, finally, was there any sense of any contrition at any stage from DJ Carey? I know his solicitor said he was instructed to offer a heartfelt apology as part of it.
Yeah, well, that's the only apology we heard. You know, he didn't ask for a statement or anything to be read out in court. Any of the victims that I've spoken to, he never reached out to them afterwards to apologise. Like, you know, in the case of Mag Kerwin, the lady, she owns a business in Kilkenny, Goatsbridge Trout Farm, and she was one of the victims who, when DJ Carey approached her husband, she was actually suffering from multiple myeloma at the time. And this was the rare bone marrow cancer that DJ Carey himself was claiming to have. And, you know, she was trying to get money back off him. She gave him €4,000 in total. She was trying to get money back off him for years. And it was only when she threatened to go to the media that DJ Carey actually arranged to give her the money back. So, you know, there doesn't seem to be much contrition there. And, like, you know, if there was, I don't think he would have been doing this for the best part of a decade. Like, it's very easy, I suppose, to say you're sorry when you're sitting in a Garda station being subject to questioning. But I suppose his barrister was trying to outline DJ Carey's circumstances. Like, when he was arrested, I think he was staying in the Holborn Hotel in Kilkenny. The court heard that at times he was sleeping in his own car. He was unemployed. So, you know, his circumstances, he was living a very transient lifestyle at that time. But I suppose I was kind of expecting maybe for him to read out a statement and explain what he did. But we never really got that. And, you know, Gardaí said that when he was arrested, he mentioned how he had financial difficulties with the bank, and he was in a bit of a rush for his words, I think. But, like, you know, we heard in court that Dennis O'Brien provided him with the €60,000 ended up getting him a significant write down on the millions of euro he owed to AIB. And that was in 2017, Jerry. So we know now that long after Dennis O'Brien helped wipe his slate clean with AIB, he was still defrauding people and still asking for money and still pretending he had cancer. So I think that's why people don't have much sympathy for him.
And the tragedy is that with the life he had and with the status he had, he could have quite easily, you know, had a very comfortable life if he had just stayed in the straight and narrow, but maybe not possible with the personality that's come out and the actions for 10 years of what he did. Amy, listen, thanks so much for giving us your time this morning and talking about that. That's Amy Malloy there, who is Social Affairs correspondent with the Irish Independent. You can read her piece. Thanks a million, Amy. Read her pieces in the Irish Independent today about what happened in court. And that point about, I suppose, Dennis O'Brien, you know, one of the richest people in Ireland, people kind of feeling, well, he's a billionaire, it's all grand, but I think he's just as wronged as everybody else, regardless of the amount of money that he has and the impact it will have on his life in terms of a friendship that was twisted and used in this way by DJ Kerry to extort money out of him on a false basis.